Tasmania Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And Happy New Year to anyone joining the program for the first beginning of the year. And I hope that you're having a leisurely time reflecting on things and you're not too stressed and you haven't got into the busyness of the year yet. But we at Senior Focus, and those of us working behind the scenes on the program, we've been busy having sessions, planning our workout for the year, planning out how we're going to continue to pay the funds to keep us on air. And so that team is Tim Coffey, Nanette Nathu, and Heather Orford, and also in an advisory mentoring role, Fiona Tannis. So on Sunday, we had a great meeting. It was really inspirational. There was great camaraderie, trust and friendship, and real enthusiasm for moving ahead. We're looking at building our profile and making sure that we put in an application at least every 2 months throughout the year to different entities, just to try and keep the flow going. And at the same time, we want to be more engaged with the Mount Albert community, our immediate neighbourhood. And to do that, we're going to focus on organisations that are involved in health and well-being and health and well-being outcomes. And we believe that that will be beneficial to the seniors that interact with that particular business, and also that it will be beneficial for community building within the Mount Albert area. There won't be a large kind of expo arrangement for celebrating seniors or looking at digital needs or what have you that I'm aware of this year. So any change in that, of course, we will update you as soon as we know. But there were two such events last year. One focused on community, but we were there with a stall and interacting with a number of other organisations and ethnic organisations in particular. And there was, of course, the digital seniors in November 2024, which was huge and saw 1,500 seniors coming in the door. And events like this can really do build profile rapidly. But as I say, I don't know of any that are on the scheduled at the moment. In the current economic climate, it's not easy to engage businesses or to get businesses focused on seniors' issues. And I think part of the problem is there is still a huge bias towards ageing. There's still a lot of myths about ageing. There's still a lot of disbelief about the fact that we're facing an ageing population in the future. I guess some of the writings about we can't afford to keep paying super out have been seen as scaremongering and some seen as a burden that the young people in society are facing into the future. And so that tends to be a kind of negative thing too. Oh, look what the baby boomers are causing. You know, it's they're the problem. And it also comparisons come up between, oh, you had it so good, you know, you didn't have to pay fees to go to university, and your mortgages weren't so steep because houses were affordable, and so on and so forth. And so there is plenty of disgruntlement directed at people who are older, and there's a lot of frustration around people who act in ways that appear selfish, and that can happen for anyone in any age, but because of their age, then suddenly that becomes a focus. I won't mention a certain president, but it springs to mind straight away, because there are certainly amongst the male population leaders in key roles who seem to get more obsessed with their own ideas and less responsive and less capacity to listen to the diversity of those around them. And so, again, that ends up becoming a problem that then gets deflected off as it's aging. You know, you can't trust these people as they get older to be functioning in a cognitively inclusive way. So when we were getting together looking at the programming on Sunday and how we were going to focus ourselves this year, it was interesting because we are all aware of the history that's gone on in Auckland towards trying to raise awareness about ageism and its impact on people's health and well-being, trying to consider what the impact of increasing numbers of older people living longer are going to have on society, and what we need to have in place to help cope with that, to help cope get a better policies at work for seniors' well-being, that encourage well-being, that actually facilitate well-being. Because often it's a matter of shifting the way money is spent. It's not that it costs a huge amount to do this. It's often can be even cheaper than what is currently done. But it's a matter of what you do. And, for example, buying furniture for public space, particularly, for example, libraries. So often I saw in libraries and community centres new modern-looking furniture coming in, but it was low and it was so difficult for older people to get out of. And no one had done any test running with older people when they went shopping for these things. I mean, often it was people in their 20s and 30s doing the buying, and they never considered the issues at all for what would be a significant group in the population. So we're heading towards 1 in 5 being over 65, and I have heard figures of 1 in 4 in the next decade will be the norm above 65. So even though lots of people are healthier for longer, there's still people in their post 80 phase who are more frail. And they may be living longer, but they're not as well. And this has real ramifications in the way you plan. And it's both practical and it's workplace related, because of the need to have appropriate staffing to deal with the issues. So within our team, having had some experience over 10 to 15 years with raising awareness of these issues, working with mayors and council staff and with councillors, working with local boards, the experiences have been at times frustrating because there's a high turnover of staff and representatives, and so you can form relationships and get things moving, and then you have to start all over again because you've got a different crew on board and they may not have thought about these things. They may not have been aware of them at all. So these are some of the things that have promoted and prompted people to want to see us continue with Senior Focus as a radio show, because there are people at different stages across the lifespan. The show is not angled at one particular group. Sometimes it's a tall order to get the right emphasis and see the landscape through enough diverse lenses to be sure what kind of things are going to be needed the most, and how can we actually hit our targets. Because we do have goals and we do have intent. We're not just fluffing around. One of the things that's always been difficult is that it's been hard to find a sufficient body of information and people talking out in society about these issues. In academia, there are chairs, professorships in the area of gerontology. There are lots of research projects underway. There are over 147 PhD students who are working solely on research to do with ageing under the auspices of the Hope Foundation, who do a lot of sponsorship, and they actually encourage the publication and distribution of the knowledge and information that's coming out of these studies. So it's not that nothing's happening or that no one's talking or dialoguing. It's just that it isn't in the mainstream media very often. So at this time, we are very excited because Time magazine has decided to do a front page entitled Longevity. And so they are actually coming to the party rather late in the piece, but they are actually helping us by publicising widely just what the issues are, because every society on the planet has got an ageing population. Humankind has never lived through this kind of societal shift before. We've never had a top-heavy population of people in their elder years, and we never had people living as long consistently in such large numbers. And we also have never had people as frail in their post-80 period. So it's quite a challenge to get people prepared for this. And I guess the thing is that hindsight's a great thing. We can always look back and we can see what history has taught people and what we learned from a certain situation. But we haven't got a learning curve that we can go back to with regards to this phenomenon. And this is probably why it's quite difficult for people to come to grips with. So our program actually focuses on at different levels, on different ways as to how people are coping with aging, because we don't want to lose sight of the inspirational stories of people who go through transitions and make major changes successfully in older age. Because that would be, if we just ignored lived experience, if we just ignored what people are doing and how they're getting through things. I don't think that would be helpful. It's very helpful to actually reflect on what you're doing, thinking about what others are doing. So we really do encourage this lived experience approach to our topics. So we're not just presenting academic research. And as well as those considerations, we also are looking to increase the dialogue between different organisations, different groups that are working on aspects of supporting active ageing, positive ageing. Because the more we can have people unite, the stronger the voices and the more impact we can all have. And so we all benefit from that. So we are trying to do a lot of support and trumpet blowing and advocacy for and around all sorts of different avenues of improvements that can go on in the space of caring for older people, inspiring older people, and making sure that people are not left behind. And I'm really excited to know that that all these different avenues of research and exploration, whether it's in the business communities, whether it's in the universities, whether it's at the community level, whether it's within families who have exceptional people that they are supporting and encouraging in their older age, or whether it's in the intergenerational space, where we have pioneers who are getting people out of the age silos and into mixing and mingling more in natural ways. But in all this activity and in all these opportunities, we need more publicity, more awareness out there. And so Senior Focus can act as a magnet to attract stories and conversations and people, but it's also a way of packaging that material into podcasts, and these are then available online 24/7 anywhere in the world. And that's the beauty of our show. It's not just the radio at 5:25 on a Sunday. It's going everywhere. It's available everywhere, and that's the exciting part about it. So we've been on air 10 years, and our aim is to become a long-term player. We want to be viable, and we want to make sure that we are better known so people can access and make real changes and really benefit from what we're presenting. And I know that there's a lot of research now about cognitive development in older age, because of course dementia is a very huge part of life in older age for certain people, and the numbers who are going to be diagnosed and needing care and support are worrying and troublesome to those in the health sector and those in the government. And it's important to realise it's not inevitable. It's important to realise that active ageing can, by deliberate means of watching diet and exercise, it is possible to reduce the incidence, to decrease the onset, and to decrease the impact. So if you do get it, you don't have to suffer as badly and be disconnected as much from people. So there's so much that can be done. and by it's a largely, even if you have the knowledge about what to do, a lot of people are just not aware of what makes a difference. I mean, they're not aware that early diagnosis of hearing loss, arresting that hearing loss at an early stage, can have a marked impact on your state of mind and capacity to operate mentally, and therefore arrest the onset of the difficulties mentally in communication. So it's just not being made clear enough to people, even though we've had some major champions of late, like Carolyn Cooper, who was our first aged care commissioner, made a massive impact through her initial report, where she highlighted that spending money up front, helping people get assessed and get hearing aids, could really significantly impact on the numbers having dementia. 20% risk could be averted, and that's really worth knowing. But it's an old track record. We need to actually get that message out many times over to many people. For people to accept it, it's quite difficult. I mean, I've had lots of discussions with some very intelligent males, people I like to have discussions with, and on this subject, they just have not been able to see the direct connection between the hearing assessment, the mild hearing loss, and the cognitive loss. And they don't realise what the process is and how the cognitive deterioration, once it sets in, once the hearing loss has progressed, very hard to get that back. It's just decay of cells. It's just a biological change that is very difficult to disrupt. But if you start early, it's quite a different story. So I'm hoping that our program can continue to make a difference in this way, and that we can continue to really stretch people's imagination and as to how they can dream their future and how they can see themselves in 10 years' time. What will they be doing? What will it be like? Rather than actually thinking in the back of their mind all the time, oh, I hope I don't get dementia. Oh, I don't want to have this. Or, oh, I don't want to be in a wheelchair. You know, people who ruminate like this actually are not doing themselves any favours, but they may be actually making things a lot worse for themselves long term. There's a lot of research now about how the innermost attitude of a person, their view of the future and of themselves, their view of the ageing process, has a huge impact on how they actually age and what are they like in older age. And I ask people sometimes to go back to childhood and think about when they were younger, what did they think of older people? What did they think about ageing? And I had a conversation with someone last week. She was saying to me, I always had this idea that I was going to grow old gracefully and have great fun, and I wouldn't be stuffy and I wouldn't be sitting in a rocking chair looking miserable. I would be out enjoying myself. I'd be having adventures, and I'm going to age. I'm going to be the fun and the life and soul of any community. I'm going to be engaged fully. I'm going to keep learning. And I always thought this, and I always had this positive view of myself. I was going to get better as I got older. And so that's the kind of motivation that is at the heart of our radio show, is at the heart of the work that gets put in the background by the people who believe in it and who want it to be on air. And I wanted to share all this with you today because as we look forward, we realise that building our profiles really so important that we need to have some key people who are out in society actually talking about active aging, talking about the needs of older people, talking about things in a positive way, what can be done, and talking with energy and verve and drive. And so we want to have a group of people as an advisory board just to be able to draw on their strengths, to be able to bring them together and have their voices collectively heard, but also be able to have quick quips and quotes from them in our what we're presenting to funders and what we are also presenting on air. So this is something that's come out of our meeting on Sunday, and I wanted to share it with you so you understand more about what is coming and what we can look forward to. We also found that our connection with a range of people that listen was diminished by COVID and by those difficult times when people weren't going out. And for a long time, we still got the message that people weren't going out so much. And of course, latterly, we've noticed that with the violence on buses and so on, the unrest and homelessness on the streets and various uncomfortable social problems inhibit a lot of people from going out. And so we want to stimulate more conversation and more connection with our listeners, and we're going to go back to having movie outings because we want to just have one now and again so people can connect and go to the movies and enjoy a movie and actually have somebody to share it with, have a cup of tea with afterwards, and actually meet with some of the people who listen to the program. So be aware that we will be making announcements about that, announcements about music groups that meet regularly and encourage new people to come in and join them with singing and playing an instrument. And we know that has a huge benefit in people's well-being, and also groups that join together to garden, because the same thing is true, that it does have definite health benefits, not only the social connection, not only being outside and having your hands in the dirt, but it's also the positive value of doing something that's takes your mind off other things. So thank you for listening, and we hope to have a guest on air again next week, and we will be looking forward to celebrating more exciting things with you in the future. Bye.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.